The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
Here we go!
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go!
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Let's go!
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
Happy Friday, everybody. Happy Week 17. We are back to preview the 8 games, the NFC home games. We got to the AFC home games yesterday, and we'll knock out the rest today. Adam Azer here with Jamie Eisberg. What's up, Jamie?
I watched a great football game yesterday.
I'm sure you did. You're very funny. Heath Cummings, welcome back.
This is how out of it is I am because of Christmas. I don't even know what football game you're talking about.
Oh, La Tech had a great football game yesterday.
Yeah, the Miami, really? Miami loss. Whatever. Big deal. Great.
Who'd they beat?
They beat a team Adam likes.
Yeah, FIU? So there's that. And then there's Ben Gretsch is here. Gosh, I hate you guys. You're ruining my Friday. Everybody stop ruining my Friday. Maybe we could hire Chris Peterson. Ben Gretsch, welcome back to the show.
How's it going? I'm enjoying this hate on Miami. It's pretty good.
Yeah, everybody enjoys good Miami hate. Hey, look, all I know is if Miami were playing a football game 30 minutes away from me, I'd go to the game, Jamie, because I'm a real fan.
I'm going.
Okay, good. I'm glad you're going.
I never said I wasn't
question
going.
Mark. You said you were relying on someone else to get you tickets.
No, that's not enough of a commitment. No. See, you have one child. I have three. It's expensive to
Why can't you go without them? That's what I want to
know. Because they're fans of the team. See,
so
I'm
what?
Raising,
lie
I'm
to
raising,
them.
I'm raising my children to like good teams. You're raising your children to like bad teams.
Think of all the heartache that you're setting your child up for.
At least you have the Yankees.
Disappointment.
We always have the Yankees. That's good. All right, hey, let's do a bold prediction for Week 17. Heath, give me a bold prediction for Week 17.
Yeah, I think Greg Ward has 100 yards and 2 touchdowns.
Oh, you're such a what's with everybody today? That's my bold prediction.
Damn, no,
I should have put it in the notes.
I think the perfect ending to the 2019 season would be if we were a week too early on Mike Boone week.
No, God.
And he finishes this week as a top 12 running back, maybe runs for 100 yards, scores at least once. My bold prediction.
We'll get any hate email there.
No.
I honestly don't think it's that bad of a prediction. I mean, it was so disappointing last week, but they fell behind. Abdullah caught all those passes, but the Bears could be without 2 of their defensive tackles, Goldman and Hicks. So, you know, it's not crazy. Jamie, do you have a bold prediction?
Yeah, RG3 is going to be a top 10 quarterback this week.
Woo!
That's so weird. You know they're playing the Steelers, right?
Yeah.
All right, well, that's bold. Ben, yeah. Do you have a bold prediction?
Yeah, I will go. I got a good one and a fun one. I'll take John Ross for 100 yards and a TD. His snaps ticked up. I think he's going to play full snapshot this week. And, you know, we've forgotten about him a little bit. The fun one, Marshawn Lynch comes back, scores 2 touchdowns for Seattle.
Yeah, that could happen as well. The Rams and the Vikings. The Rams are saying they're going to sit there, some of their starters. The Vikings have nothing to play for right now. I know we touched on the Vikings yesterday, but we're going to preview these two games today. Jamie, you in particular seem very bearish on the Rams. You think they're going to maybe rest Goff, Gurley. You're kind of avoiding them. Is that the situation with the Rams
for you? If you just go based on what McVay sort of hinted at, and that you're going to rest some of the injured guys, you know, you're already hearing Jalen Ramsey's not going to play. He had the knee injury that he left the game briefly last week, but you know, Jared Goff's got this thumb injury that he's been playing through. You know about Gurley's knee situation. If they're really concerned about him for next year, why would you play him in this game? So there's nothing guaranteed yet, but it wouldn't shock me if we get to Sunday and you hear Goff inactive, Gurley inactive, and, you know, you just don't have those guys out there, which for Goff clearly is going to impact, you know, the receiving core there for the Rams. So there's nothing that we know yet from all these teams aside from the Ravens. So it's just one thing you got to, you know, sort of take with what the sort of hint, hint, wink, wink, you know, sort of nod, nod deal is.
But The one guy I'm planning on playing regardless is Robert Woods, because I think he'll probably get enough targets. Blake Bortles will wing it around a little bit if he's playing. I think the difficult part with Gurley is if you're playing week 17 and you have him, would you rather have Malcolm Brown or Daryl Henderson?
Well, Henderson's going to be placed on IR if he hasn't been already.
Brown.
Yeah. So Brown's the guy. Henderson's not going to play.
Yeah. So what if Goff does play, though? You know, does he finish the game? You know, let's say, Ben, that Goff is active, but, you know, there's some speculation that he might not play the full game and then it would be Bortles. You know, what would you do in that situation?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I don't play in a lot of leagues that have week 17 championships, but if it's me, and this is the way I kind of approach my week 16 championships, I don't want to play guys that could potentially get me, you know, only a half a game, essentially. And I actually got hit with that with DJ Moore and Will Fuller last week, and it's pretty frustrating when those guys go out early. I don't think Goff is such a slam dunk play that you have to jam him in your lineup. He's got a great matchup. He's a good play, but if there's any risk whatsoever, find another quarterback.
Yeah, Adam, I don't think this is a play a half and come out. He's either playing or he's not playing. This is an injury-related sit-down, wait-for-next-year scenario. This isn't get your reps in, get some rhythm going into the playoffs. You know, so you may see that from, like, Deshaun Watson. They may play him a quarter, and he's done if the Chiefs have locked up their spot. You know, that type of scenario, Kirk Cousins may play for a little bit. Josh Allen may play for a little bit. Those are the ones you have to worry about, those guys coming out. I think for the Rams, it's either you're in or you're out. I don't think it's going to be play a little bit and then sit them down.
By the way, I know you all have some questions. I've got some emails in the show today and an Apple Podcast question as well. We'll get to those in a little bit. Would you guys like to hear a possibly funny fantasy football story? I thought it was funny that I'm getting ready to tell it out loud. I don't know that you're going to laugh, but, like, it's Friday. It's week 17. Let's give it a shot, right?
This is going to be good one way or another.
Okay. So I was playing in two leagues last week. One of them I was tracking the whole time. The other one I was tracking, and I was getting blown out. Unfortunately, I started Mitchell Trubisky over Andy Dalton, and yeah, I was getting blown out in that league. And I thought it was the semifinals. So I didn't even check the league until yesterday. I knew I had Aaron Jones, but that's all I had on Monday night. I didn't check the league until yesterday. Turns out we weren't playing into week 17. That was the championship. And I looked at the score. Final score of the game, 84.48. to 84.28, down to 0.2 of a point, I lost the championship.
Oh, wow.
By 0.2. I am so glad I did not track that on Monday night, as it would have been the worst, most agonizing fantasy football defeat.
Did you guys have players on Monday night?
Yeah, Aaron Jones.
Wow. Yeah, yeah. I didn't think I had a chance. I couldn't believe it.
Was that the only bad decision you made, was the quarterback?
I mean, I don't regret starting Tyler Lockett, but I started Tyler Lockett, But other than that, stupid Dalton, Mitchell, stupid Trubisky. Oh, well. Well, I hope that was funny for you. It was a good way to lose by 0.2 of a point. If you're going to lose by 0.2 of a point, figure it out on Thursday. That's not a bad idea. Things to promote. Go ahead.
At least you scored. Unlike your Hurricanes. Adam, I got to run for a minute. I guess Antonio Brown news. So I'll be back.
Oh, good. Well, I'm honestly not that upset based on all the things you've said to me this morning. All right, so there's some Antonio Brown news. We're going to get to that in a second. Don't forget, we have a radio show on Saturday night, our last one of the season. Be back in August. But, we'll talk a lot about 2020, and we'll look back at bust breakouts, all the good draft picks, bad draft picks we made, but also look ahead to 2020. So listen to the show 10 p.m. to midnight, CBS Sports Radio, Sirius Channel 206. The DFS podcast, we got a new episode dropping today with Heath and Mike McClure, and playoff pick'em.com/playoff. Get in a league, with a pool with your friends and your family. You can win some money and pick some games. We're going to take a quick break here. When we come back, we will run through the news and notes and get to your emails and the games right after this.
Baseball has begun, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today in 5, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Sanfel, every Monday through Saturday as we deliver all of your fantasy baseball needs in just 5 minutes. We'll break down the biggest performers, news, and prospects who could make an impact this season. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Here are your news and notes. Mark Ingram says he's going to be ready for the postseason. That's good news. Derrick Henry says he'll play this week. That's good news. Here's the juicy news. Antonio Brown is working out for the Saints.
I don't think he'll print matter for week 17. I think he could absolutely matter for the playoffs. He could make them the Super Bowl favorite, and he could be a guy who, if he's on the list, could be really interesting for playoff challenges because there's no telling how he's going to be priced. That first week back of DFS in the playoffs could be a lot of fun.
Ben, Doug Peterson said he's going to play the hot hand at running back, and you know he talked about Miles Sanders, Boston Scott, and Jordan Howard. How did you interpret Doug Peterson's comments on the running backs?
I mean, I think it has to be Miles Sanders, like, is the hot hand. I'm interpreting, like, we're coming into this game and Miles Sanders is playing really good football and Jordan Howard is not going to come back and have the role that he had before, that we're still going to see a lot of Miles Sanders.
Okay, we're going to preview that game a little bit later. Zach Ertz missed practice with rib and back injuries. On FanDuel, he and Dallas Goedert are basically the same price. So I'm just going to play Ertz if Ertz is healthy, and I'm going to play Goedert if Ertz is out. And Ertz just destroys the Giants, caught two touchdowns against them just a few weeks ago. Leonard Fournette missed practice with a neck injury. All right, so Ben was talking about this yesterday. Is it getting a little serious? Is it getting a little scary for you, Heath, Leonard Fournette?
Yeah, I'm a little more concerned. I think what I said yesterday was I will agree with Ben if he misses, if he's limited on Friday. And so we'll find out what his practice status is today. But this was more concerning to me than the Christmas report was.
Would you guys start Adrian Peterson or Leonard Fournette?
Currently Fournette. He would have to probably miss practice on Friday for me to start Peterson over him.
Kyler Murray was limited in practice. We still don't know if he's going to play at the Rams. Tyrell Williams missed practice with a foot injury, and he really may not play. Ben, if Tyrell Williams is out, I know we didn't really think much of Hunter Renfrow yesterday, but if Tyrell's out with his four targets per game, whatever it is, would that bump up Renfrow? Would it bump up Waller? What do you think?
I don't know if it will have much of an impact on those guys. I mean, Williams tends to see his targets more down the field. Waller and Renfrow have kind of competed for underneath targets. I think maybe somebody else would emerge as a downfield option, or perhaps more likely Derek Carr just throws underneath a lot more. But you're still, Renfrow and Waller are still going to be competing with each other. So I don't think it has that big of an impact, to be honest.
DJ Moore is still in the concussion protocol. James Conner missed practice. Dak Prescott is going to try to throw today. He's ranked pretty high, I think, for Jamie and Heath. Dak Prescott, he is fourth for Jamie. Where do you have him, Heath?
Fifth, sixth?
Fourth. Dave has him 16th. So, yeah, he looked like crap last week. We'll talk about that game. Michael Thomas has a hand issue. Shouldn't be a big deal. Jarvis Landry may need offseason hip surgery. Carolina offensive coordinator Scott Turner wants to get Christian McCaffrey the ball. So that's good. Last year in week 17, he faced the Saints, who he's facing this week. McCaffrey had like four carries and one catch. He barely played. So
I think he is, I think he's like 215 yards shy of David Johnson's record. So it's for total yards. So I like, he's got a legitimate shot at it. It's an outside shot, but it's a legitimate shot.
And he's like 60 yards away from a 1,000 season, 60 receiving yards. So we should expect him to catch some passes as well.
But you tweeted something yesterday about him being like within striking distance and PPR of something. What was it again?
Yeah, the best fantasy season of all time. Graham Barfield from NFL.com tweeted it out that he's, I think, 28 PPR points away from the top all-time running back PPR season, which was LaDainian Tomlinson. And then I added to it that what's so crazy about that is LaDainian Tomlinson in 2006, the year he put that season up, had 31 touchdowns. Christian McCaffrey has 18. He has 13 fewer touchdowns, and he's within striking distance. It's crazy.
Tom Brady plans on playing in 2020, and Terry McLaurin missed practice. I hope he plays. He was really good with Case Keenum earlier this season. Your emails, fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. Let's go through these quickly here from Cooper D. Dear Kevin, Buzz, Marvin, Harry, great movie. I watched it like five times this week. PPR championship, I'm up 8 points going into week two of the two-week final. I need two running backs, or I need one running back and a flex. Saquon Barkley, Aaron Jones, Marlon Mack, Nick Chubb, Kenyon Drake, and Brashad Perryman. Heath, who would you go with? Barkley, Jones, Mack, Chubb, Drake, Perryman.
I'm going to go with Chubb and Jones.
Interesting. Over Barkley. Okay. I know you have a little.
I'm gonna play Barkley and I think he has three roster spots, doesn't he? Did you say two?
Oh, you're two right. He has three. No, he has two spots for running backs and one flex.
I'm gonna play Barkley, Jones, and Drake and sit Chubb. Those are all like top. I don't have rankings done, but probably top 15 options for me.
They're all top,
probably top 10.
They're all top 9 options for me in PPR.
Wow.
And I would actually start Jones, Chubb, and Drake.
And sit Barkley. Yeah. Interesting.
But right. like you're saying sit Chubb and he's facing the Bengals. He's going to run the ball like 25 times.
Yeah, just
he doesn't run the ball 25 times anymore.
Work, but...
Now, look, Barkley is interesting because he's had two amazing games in a row against the Redskins and the Dolphins. 3 games ago, struggled a little bit against the Eagles. You know, so Heath's lower on Barkley than Dave and Jamie, but he's not low on Barkley.
No, I've got him nine.
From Garrett.
Yeah.
Right. But I think Dave and Jamie have him top 5. From Garrett. Feliz Navidad from Reno, Nevada. Let's just do Ben on this one. My league is stupid and plays a championship in week 17. I'm down by 10 points. I have a decision to make at quarterback and flex. Daniel Jones or Russell Wilson?
Man, I want to play Wilson Ben? In a huge game, but I feel like there's going to be scoring there. I'd probably play Wilson. I also think you can go Jones, and I would assume that one of you guys disagrees with me on this because I think it's kind of bold to take Wilson here.
That doesn't matter to me. You are the one answering this question. Galladay or Perryman, PPR?
I'll take Galladay there.
I'll take Perryman. October RVA says Trubisky, Daniel Jones, Andy Dalton, or RG3, Heath?
Daniel Jones.
From Mark, Ben, start 3 in PPR. Damian Williams, Miles Sanders, Joe Mixon, Melvin Gordon.
That's a good question for me because I said yesterday that Damian Williams was a guy that that I was high on, but this is a situation where I would sit him. I'd play these other 3 guys before him.
Okay, that would be Miles Sanders, Joe Mixon, and Melvin Gordon.
I would play Williams over Gordon.
All right. This is from Ray Heath, PPR, Kenyon Drake, Greg Ward, or Terry McLaurin?
Kenyon Drake, I just said I would start over Saquon Barkley, so I'm going to also start him over Greg Ward and Terry McLaurin.
All right. Ben from J Mask, non-PPR wide receiver. Hopkins, Diggs, Chark. Who would you start? He could also pick up Sims and Ward.
What's the
Hopkins,
question?
Diggs, and Chark. Who would you start out of Hopkins, Diggs, and Chark? Or would
he's
you
giving
pick up
you
Sims
names,
and
you pick the ones that you want to start.
I would I like how many I would start
one.
Hopkins obviously.
Well, people think he might not play the whole game, you know.
I mean, I would start right. I'm looking at the notes too. I feel like that's that guy's receivers and he's asking if you should sit any of those guys for Sims or Ward, which to me seems insane, but
he has a point. Like Diggs and Hopkins probably Diggs has nothing to play for. Hopkins' team probably will have nothing to play for.
I would sit Diggs. So. I'd sit Diggs for Ward.
Oh, he has to start 2 of them. So you'd play Hopkins and Ward?
Oh, no, I'd play Hopkins and Chark.
Okay. All right, here we go.
That was the worst question of all time.
No, it's not. These are the DeAndre Hopkins questions that people have, and it makes sense. I mean, you know, Heath, where are you ranking Hopkins?
No, my approach to that question was the worst of all time. Is the way I should.
Oh yeah,
bad.
Correct.
Yeah, that was bad. Yeah.
I've got Hopkins in the projections at like 4, and I think I may have dropped him down to like 8 in my rankings, but unless something changes with Bill O'Brien's tone, or like someone reports that there's talks within the Texans about maybe not playing to win, I'm mostly just starting him. Same with Watson.
All right. Start, sit, or flex at best. We're going to get into the games now. These are some of the games we have later on in the show. So this is a good one to start with. Kenny Golladay at Green Bay. Start, sit, or flex at best.
Top 10 wide receiver. Start him.
I think that's a little bold. I think it's a little too high. Green Bay, you know, they covered him pretty well in the first game. If you recall, he had over 100 yards, but he had 66 yards on the first play of the game on a flea flicker. And then he had about 55 yards the rest of the game. I like what Green Bay's doing in the secondary. So he scares me.
Yeah. I think that was a bad one to start on because it's a clear start.
Okay. Aaron Rodgers at Detroit. Start or sit?
Start.
I've gone back and forth on Rodgers. He's really only been good against really bad defenses, and this is a really bad defense. He's also not been good yet on the road, except maybe once. So I don't really want Giants. To start him.
No, that's not true. That's not true. Giants and Chiefs. He lit both
twice.
Teams up.
Okay.
Yeah. That's like two. That's like half as good games.
Start, I guess, but I don't feel good about it. He's right in the Daniel Jones range for me.
Start, sit, or flex at best. Michael Gallup.
I'll start Gallup for sure.
Flex.
Start, sit, or flex at best. Adrian Peterson at Dallas.
Sit.
Flex.
Would you rather start Gallup or Peterson?
You don't have
maybe?
Options.
Peterson over Gallup in non-PPR for me. Make Gallup over Peterson in PPR.
Ben, how about Terry McLaurin and Steven Sims at Dallas?
I'll start McLaurin. Sims is more like a flex. I know he scored 3 touchdowns in the last 2 weeks. He's seen a lot of targets. You know, Haskins is out now, so he's going to be seeing some passes from another quarterback. And he's like, they're also using Kelvin Harmon. I don't know if I trust those targets, and it's just been really high efficiency. It's tough to trust the touchdowns as well. So he's more of a flex, and I really wouldn't want to use him. But if he does it 3 weeks in a row, you know, sometimes you just got to ride the hot hand.
We'll use him in week 18 if Sims does it again. But what if McLaurin's out, Ben? Then how much would you like Steven Sims at Dallas?
If McLaurin's out?
Yeah.
I still wouldn't want, like, since when do we target Washington receivers? Like, I don't know. I'm not really buying into it.
Okay. Kenyon Drake is obviously a start based on what you said. And finally, Heath, Kyler Murray, start or sit?
Flex at best.
Yeah. Flex. Kenyon Drake, I don't understand why he keeps coming up. 400 rushing yards and 6 touchdowns over his last 2 games. Like,
did you see what he did the 4 games? Did you see what he did the 4 games before that? Did you see what he did? One of those games was against the Rams. So, you know.
That's not the same Rams. Not the same Rams team you're seeing this week.
Yeah, I'm starting Kenyon Drake. Okay, so got a text yesterday from Ben Schrager, our producer. I'm finding it. He said, used the SeatGeek promo code FFT for Pinstripe Bowl tickets. Very good. Good for you. And you know what? I went to the Pinstripe Bowl last year, and I used SeatGeek. Miami lost, of course, because that's the theme of the day. But, he used it. He got $10 off his first purchase. So you should do the same thing. Ben listens to the podcast. It's his job. You listen to the podcast because you're awesome. Now go ahead and use that SeatGeek app. It is the best way to get tickets. And the promo code, again, is FFT for $10 off. Why is SeatGeek the best way to get tickets? Because you don't have to go out and look at other websites, other apps. SeatGeek brings in tickets from all over the web. SeatGeek does all that hard work for you, and they care about the customer experience, and they just make it really easy to get seats. They grade every ticket based on value. You can see the best seats. You can see the best value. You can see the lowest prices, however you want to sort it. And you go to the game or the concert, comedy theater, every purchase is fully guaranteed, and you save $10. It's really easy to use. It's a great app. I'm glad I have it. I use it all the time, and I recommend it all the time. So get on the SeatGeek app. Make a purchase. Use the promo code FFT and get $10 off your first SeatGeek purchase. All right, Atlanta at Tampa Bay is our first game today. Ben, I'll give you this one. You know, Jamie and I talked about this game a few days ago, and it's just interesting because, you know, these two quarterbacks, you want to start them. But I can make compelling cases against both of them. And really, it's just that the Falcons and the Bucs have been playing a lot better defensively lately. So give me your thoughts on what could be a high-scoring game, Atlanta at Tampa Bay.
Yeah, it should be a high-scoring game. Atlanta leads the NFL in pass attempts, I believe, still. Tampa Bay, even without Evans and Godwin last week, Jameis Winston just continued throwing the ball all around the field. He wasn't as efficient. He threw 4 interceptions, but he just kept throwing the ball down the field. He ended up setting the single-game quarterback high for total air yards in a game. Tons of downfield volume still there in this offense. So you can play Breshad Perriman. You can play Justin Watson. And I think O.J. Howard is also a very solid play. He's been getting some downfield volume as well. So those are the 3 guys in the passing game I'd look at. I'd play Jameis Winston as well. I think, you know, what happened with Ronald Jones last week, he gets a long run, a big run early, and then Peyton Barber fumbles right away, and it allows him to finally get a bigger workload that we've been kind of been eluding him over the last couple of months. But we should hope that happens again, but not probably expect it, because they do kind of just do a hot hand thing. And it was that circumstance that created his big workload. So he's a tough one for me, as much as I love him. Devontae Freeman's being used a ton in the pass game. I think you can probably start him. I'd probably take him if he plays. He might not play, but I would probably take him over Ron Jones.
I don't like, but see, that's the thing. I don't want to start Devontae Freeman, because Freeman, like, we know the Bucs run defense is great. They allow 3 yards per carry to running backs. They also don't give up receiving production to running backs. And we saw just a couple of weeks ago, he faced the Niners and he was terrible. So actually he's had 4 games since coming back. He's faced the Saints and the Niners in 2 of them, and he struggled. He faced the Jaguars and the Panthers in the other 2, and he was good. So I'm not really feeling either running back here. Ronald Jones had a 44-yard run or something, and he averaged like 2 yards per carry in his other carries. And he's so stupid. Like, he's not stupid. His usage is stupid. He's so unpredictable. So I'm nervous about this game just in general. Ben doesn't seem to be. Heath, no. How about you?
I'm starting the quarterbacks. I'm starting the number one receivers. I'm starting the tight ends. I like Freeman over Ronald Jones. I would view Freeman as pretty much a start as a number two running back, and Jones is a high-end flex. I think there's going to be plenty of points scored in this game. Jones is frustrating. I don't really like Freeman has not been great against tough matchups, but I think what he did against the Saints, 10.4 PPR points, that's probably pretty close to what his floor is in this game.
Okay. Well, would you start Mike Boone or Devontae Freeman?
Oh, Freeman by like 10 miles. I'd start Jones over Boone too.
How about Kareem Hunt?
Both Freeman.
I would play Hunt.
Yeah, I'd go both Freeman and Jones over Hunt.
Ooh.
Okay. Yeah, and another thing that's kind of weird in this game, remember last week I said, well, the Bucs have been really good against number one wide receivers lately, but don't worry about it. It's not going to be DeAndre Hopkins. You're going to start him. Well, they were really good against DeAndre Hopkins. In fact, they limited their last 5 games. Julio Jones, 68 yards. DJ Chark, 47 yards. Kenny Galladay, 44 yards. Hopkins, 23 yards. None of them scored. The number two wide receivers have been much better. I think Julio Jones has 25 targets in his last 2 games. So
35.
You're going to start him.
35 in his last 2 games.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Wow. Oh, right. He had 20 and 15.
Right. Against San Francisco, who's also very good against number ones. You don't sit Julio Jones. This is Julio Jones.
No,
especially
don't.
Not when he's on a streak like this.
No, I was not going to make the case to sit Julio Jones. So Julio Jones, Brashad Perryman. What about Watson? Like Russell Gage, any interest there? How do we feel about Justin Watson?
I think Watson's just a deep flex. He should have had a much bigger game than he did last week, but I don't think that was all Jameis' fault. I think some of that was his fault. That deep pass, if he'd just not fallen down and kept running, he probably would have had a touchdown. It's a boom-bust deep flex for me.
But there's a huge boom potential, because there's a lot of downfield volume. He raises up. I'm higher on him than Heath because of that potential ceiling. I think it's very high.
So if you look at the two running backs in this game and you look at Perryman and Watson, Ben, how would you rank Freeman, Jones, Perryman, Watson?
I would play Perryman and Watson ahead of both of them, probably in all formats, because Devonta Freeman's more of a PPR back anyway. I would play Freeman only in where I needed running backs in PPR formats, but Perryman and Watson, the passing games are absolutely what you want to target in this game. Those are the guys that I want to play.
Yeah, I'd go Perryman, Freeman, Jones, Watson. And it, Watson probably does have more upside than Ronald Jones. Jones has, I think, a considerably higher floor. So we'll see.
Jones does not have a high floor.
A higher floor than Justin Watson.
I don't know, man. He got 10 targets last week. And you said that, if he caught that deep ball, whoever said it.
Well, it wasn't if he caught it. It's if he'd not fallen down because he was too wide open and freaked out.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. Like, he was wide open for a deep touchdown. He could have had a huge game. All right.
Yeah, I mean, no one thinks he's like a really, really good receiver, but they don't have anyone else to throw the ball to. So he's not going to go anywhere.
Well, they do have O.J. Howard. And how do we feel about O.J. Howard, Heath? He is facing a team. Yeah, they've given up. Atlanta has allowed 70 yards or a touchdown to a tight end in 7 of their last 10 games.
Yep.
So we'll start him.
Start him.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, let me give you a hypothetical, guys. Let's say Jared Goff is inactive. Would you start Tyler Higbee against the Cardinals or O.J. Howard?
Howard.
Wow. Against the Cardinals, I think I'd still take Higbee.
Okay. And we like Austin Hooper. Hooper's top 6 in non-PPR, top 4 in PPR. Pretty sure that wraps this game up. Atlanta DST is around 11th to 14th in the rankings. Let's go to Chicago at Minnesota. Heath, exciting game here in the NFC.
No. But this one will be quick, though, because I feel like that game took like 20 minutes. This one's going to take like 2. I don't want to start either of the quarterbacks. I don't really want to start any of the running backs. I don't really want to start any of the wide receivers besides Allen Robinson. I'm not going to start any of the tight ends.
Yeah, this is an easy game. Ben, any thoughts?
Is there anyone you want to start besides Allen Robinson? I think that's the way.
Robinson's the only one on my list. Yep. I mean, I think you can make a case for the Chicago running backs in the right formats, Cohen in PPR and Montgomery in non-PPR if you needed to use them, but they're not guys that I want to be using. And we are so uncomfortable with Minnesota's playing time that they're not guys that I want to be starting.
I mean, David Montgomery versus Devontae Freeman is actually interesting to me. And I know, you know, in PPR, you go with Freeman because even though he hasn't really been that, he was great in the passing game last week. But let's just say, you know, full season, he's been very good in the passing game. But in non-PPR, like, you can't understate the possibility that Devontae Freeman has like 20 rushing yards. Because you look like Leonard Fournette had 14 carries for 38 yards. Marlon Mack had 13 carries for 38 yards. Carlos Hyde had 17 carries for 27 yards. So he could get completely blanked, basically, by Tampa Bay.
I mean, 2 of those 3 guys had more than 35 yards. So I wouldn't expect.
Yeah, but they also got more carries. No, not really.
Freeman's not a PPR option for me.
I agree.
Yeah, I don't totally agree with that. Maybe he's more of a flex in non-PPR, but he's probably going to run for 40 yards, and he's probably going to have 30-ish yards receiving. And so if you've got 70 yards, it's do you score a touchdown? But 70 yards plus a touchdown in a high-scoring game is not a guy I have to stay away from.
And he has four touchdowns on the year, so that's, you know, you can bank on that.
2 in his last 3. 3 in his last
pass
3.
Pass catching running backs against the Bucs. McCaffrey, 16 yards. Barkley, 27. Gurley had 54. Kamara had 42. McCaffrey had 26 the second time.
These are receiving
Carson,
totals?
28. Kamara, 40. Yes, receiving totals.
So I think my 30 yards.
They are among
accurate.
The best. He's not McCaffrey. He's not Kamara. They are among the best in the NFL.
30
against,
is not a lot.
Running
Adam.
Backs in.
So the Chicago Minnesota
right.
game was so bad that you guys just went back to arguing.
Yeah.
Basically. What do we think the Vegas over under for Devontae Freeman player prop total yards is? I don't think 70 is far off, probably.
No, but I take the under.
I bet it's 53 or something like that.
I'm gonna go. I'll find it.
All right. So just to put a bow on this, in a non PPR league, would you start David Montgomery or Devontae Freeman?
I would probably start Montgomery.
Freeman.
I mean, Aaron Jones just carved up Minnesota's rush D last week.
Yeah, and they're a little banged up too.
Can we just take a look at, like, we're reading off all these game logs against Tampa Bay. Can we just read off David Montgomery's game log for the last 2 months?
Oh, I know.
No. Because I don't want to bore to death, Heath.
Yeah.
So why not Stephon Diggs?
He's going to play. I don't know how much his quarterback's going to play.
Okay, let's move on then. Next game.
See, this is where
San Francisco at Seattle.
I actually had Diggs on my list. Well, no, I actually had Diggs on my list, and that's where I got confused on that earlier question because, like, I'd play him. I don't think he's gonna sit, but I kind of felt like you guys might have some insight there. So I actually liked your question, Adam. I don't know why not him.
I don't think he. I don't. I don't know. He might. I don't know. Like, there's not been some Bill O'Brien. We're playing to win the game. Or anything like that. And both Diggs and Thielen are perpetually dinged up. So it would seem like a good idea to me to get them a week off.
If you want another reason to get away from Diggs, He only has 11 targets in his last two games since Adam Thielen came back. He did well in both of them. And the Bears are very good against wide receivers. They give up the fifth fewest fantasy points to wide receivers. But I think it's more of a playing time issue. San Francisco is at Seattle. You know what? I'm going to have to give this one to Heath because I don't want to just give Ben all the good games. And Heath, you know, the
no,
Packers game.
I'm
the
pretty good at those bad
games.
I can get through those quickly, and then we can just fight about the same games we've talked about the whole show.
I'm going to get let's go. Let's Heath, I want you to talk about Sunday Night Football. Ben will obviously get a word in as well.
Oh, Sunday
who do you like?
Night. Start Russell Wilson. Sit Jimmy Garoppolo. I am starting Raheem Mostert. My favorite Seahawks back is Travis Homer, but he's more of a high-end flex and a start. Maybe better than that in PPR. He's very involved in the passing game. I believe 8 targets, and he came in very late in the second quarter last week. So I think Homer's an okay PPR start. That could change if we get more information on Friday or Saturday that says, ooh, Marshawn Lynch is really looking good and ready to go. I expect Marshawn Lynch to get like 5 touches in a warm-up for the playoffs in week 17. As far as the receivers go,
tough.
I guess my favorite one is Tyler Lockett still. Then Emmanuel Sanders, then Debo, then DK. I'm probably just starting Lockett and Sanders, though Samuel's really close to a start for me. And obviously you start Kittle. I'm not really that excited about starting Jacob Hollister.
Ben, anything you want to add?
I mean, I mostly agree. I think I would say that I'm a little more excited about Hollister. I think he's one of their three guys that actually run full route shares in their passing game with Metcalf and Lockett. Those are the guys that kind of comprise the main cogs in Seattle's passing game. I think they're going to have to throw. So I think there's some upside there for those guys. The issue with Seattle is just always we don't know where the targets are going to go. I mean, it can be highly variable. As far as Lynch is concerned, I expect he'll start. I expect they'll do that to get the crowd into the game early. It's a huge game. Winner of this game wins the division. I expect he'll start and get carries early and really get people jazzed. And it would not surprise me if he's running well that he gets 15 carries in this game and Homer plays mostly on passing downs. I like Homer as well, and I agree with Heath. He had a good receiving role, but it would not surprise me at all to see Lynch be kind of like a glorified mascot on the field in this game.
I just got to say, though, that the run defense for San Francisco has been outrageously good lately. So I just can't get behind the idea of starting it. And not that you guys said start one, but just to say, like, I can't start a Seattle running back. And I think, you know, all the guys we've talked about already, David Montgomery and Ronald
I'd start
Jones,
Homer over
Devontae
Montgomery.
Freeman.
Agreed.
I would not start Homer. Are you kidding me? I mean, look at the running backs
either.
who have faced San Francisco lately. Todd Gurley, Aaron Jones, Mark Ingram, Aaron Jones, Alvin Kamara, and Devontae Freeman scored 5 or fewer non-PPR and 7 or fewer PPR fantasy points. This run defense is insane right now.
David Montgomery often scores 5 or fewer non-PPR and 7 or fewer PPR fantasy points. He scored 5.9 last week.
That's true.
4.9 the week before.
He's not great, but we could very well see like a CJ Procise role from Homer, which Procise never produced much either. I mean, we're not going to get word from Seattle. We don't usually know when they decide to just go full on Chris Carson games and completely pull Rashad Penny out of it. They would just make those decisions. And then they went back to a committee. They're kind of loosey goosey with that stuff. And we don't really know. And if Marshawn Lynch looks good, he very well could push Travis Homer completely off the field. The reason he was so involved last week, he was the only healthy running back from that second quarter or third quarter point on. He was the only guy, and he wasn't very good. And then they brought in 2 more running backs.
This is not a Travis Homer fan take. This is a you should not be starting David Montgomery.
Okay.
He's really, really bad at scoring fantasy points.
You shouldn't start either guy. Raheem Mostert, is Raheem Mostert the best running back we've talked about so far, ahead of Ronald Jones, Devontae Freeman, Montgomery, Minnesota guys?
Yeah.
Well, he's the best, right? Yeah.
He's the best in non-PPR for sure. I think I've got Freeman one spot higher in PPR.
Okay. Yeah, he maybe will catch 1 or 2 balls. So how about Raheem Mostert or DeAndre Washington?
Washington. As long as Jacobs is out, I'm starting Washington. period.
I think you can make a case he should be starting Mostert, period. Why would you? I mean, that it's very close, but I think I can lean Washington with Heath.
Yeah, look, we wish Mostert would get more carries. He's, 13-ish, something like that. But he has scored a touchdown now in 5 straight games. The wide receivers are tough. And Russell Wilson, let's spend a little bit more time on Wilson because everybody's got Garoppolo as a sit. Wilson, he's 9th for Jamie, 11th for Dave, 8th for Heath. Would you start Daniel Jones or Russell Wilson?
Wilson. And Ben already answered that question.
Yeah, he did that question.
I don't remember that. When did I ask that?
During the mailbag. You read the question.
Oh, okay.
He said, I think it's a little bit of a hot take, but I'm going to take Wilson over Daniel Jones.
I wanted your opinion, you're like,
you refused to give your opinion.
That's right. No, look, Wilson's been bad, man. Like it's like 9 games in a row now. He's been pretty bad for fantasy except for 2 of them. So
I don't like the way you phrase that.
He has been bad for fantasy.
9 games in a row, he's been bad except for 2 of them. So it's not been bad for 9 games in a row.
7 out of 9 games have been bad for fantasy. That's
but
no good.
Now his running backs are injured, and it's a division. Like he play like when they trail, he throws more, right? And so it's a tough game, division deciding game against San Francisco. You got to expect he's going to throw more. They're going to put more on his shoulders with the running backs out. I'm not looking at those past 9 games as much as what we'll see in week 17.
How would you rank Jameis Winston, Russell Wilson, Matt Ryan?
Jameis is just – there's so much volume there. I like both Jameis and Ryan for volume. I would take them probably over Wilson.
Ryan, Russ, Winston.
No. Yes. Sorry. I got Winston and Wilson confused there. Ryan, Wilson, Winston. Man, Lockett, Metcalf. Why does everybody like Lockett so much more than Metcalf? Especially you, Heath. You have Lockett in your top 10.
Lock it up.
Good analysis.
No, I haven't. It's not something I've really thought about that much. Probably comes back to like Lockett has more upside on a weekly basis. Mm-hmm. That's probably what it is. Like those big monster games are just factoring into the projections and the season totals. I think Tyler Lockett's a very talented wide receiver, and I generally, whenever I think Russell Wilson's going to throw more than 30 passes, expect Lockett to be a must start.
All right, how many, last question here, Ben, how many of the wide receivers in this game would you start ahead of Raheem Mostert in a half PPR league? So half PPR, Raheem Mostert or the 4 wide receivers in this game?
I would start Lockett and probably Emmanuel Sanders over him. I don't think I would go with Metcalf. Debo. Debo's pretty good. It would be close with Debo and Mostert for me.
I would start Mostert over all of them.
Wow. Mm. Okay. All right, let's go to our next game, Philadelphia and the Giants. Ben Gretsch, go for it. Daniel Jones or Russell Wilson?
I don't know. It's a toss-up. Philadelphia... We got to like what Deion Jones did last week, obviously. Threw 5 touchdowns, threw for a ton of yards. I think you can play all of Sterling Shepard, Golden Tate, and Darius Slayton, but we don't really know where the targets are going to go, so it's kind of challenging, and Caden Smith is involved as well. I think you start Saquon wherever you have him. Even Heath, who said he's down on him, has him 9th. Unless you have better, like really, really good options, like we heard from that question earlier in the show. And then on Philadelphia's side, I think it's the same stuff. We should expect the same kind of passing game flowing through the running backs and tight ends. We know Ertz is a little banged up. That makes him tricky. But this is a must-win game. He's probably going to tough it out and play through it, and I would start him. I would also start Goddard because there's a very real chance that Ertz could leave the game early and Goddard ends up having 12 targets again like he did last week. I think you absolutely start Miles Sanders. I know that Howard's going to be back. I would not start Boston Scott. I would not start Jordan Howard. I think you can use Wentz. I don't know that he's going to be like one of my top favorite quarterbacks, but I definitely think you can use him. And Greg Ward is the limit to where I would look at their receivers, but he's kind of a, I don't know for me. He's more like, I think of him as like the 4th option in their passing game as opposed to their number 1 wide receiver.
I don't know that I disagree with too much. Wentz is one of my favorite quarterbacks for DFS this week because I think he's underpriced. As long as Zach Ertz is there, I pretty much view him as a must-start quarterback. If for some reason Ertz wasn't able to make it, then he would be a low-end starting quarterback. I don't know that I totally agree with Greg Ward as the fourth option in the passing game. He's got 23 targets over the past 3 weeks. I would presume that probably puts him second on the teams in terms of targets over those 3 weeks. I think he's a good number three, low-end number two wide receiver in PPR. He doesn't do a whole lot with the ball after the catch. And I'm probably starting Goddard whether Ertz is in or out.
Would you guys start Goddard or Hollister with Ertz playing? With Ertz playing, Goddard or Hollister?
Goddard for me.
It would be Goddard for me, too.
Would you? Who's your favorite wide receiver in this game? I think it's a very tough question.
I think it might be Slayton. it's a tough question.
In PPR, I will go with Shepard. In non-PPR, I think I'll go with Slayton.
So here's what the numbers look like. There have been three games in which Daniel Jones, Sterling Shepard, Golden Tate, and Darius Slayton all played. I'll just give you the targets. Golden Tate and Sterling Shepard both had 24 targets, and Darius Slayton had 14. But he only had two last week in one of those three games. He had a knee injury, wasn't playing all the time. So it's a little skewed. So I cannot sit here and say that there's a favorite receiver. It could be any of them. It's annoying. Yep. And I really like Greg Ward, but I don't know that I'd have the guts to start him over Shepard. But, this to me is a higher scoring game than Atlanta-Tampa Bay.
It's one of my favorite games for DFS for the weekend. So, yeah, I'd agree.
Now, if Nelson Agholor plays, I haven't seen an update on him. What would that mean for Greg Ward as a sleeper?
I don't think Agholor has practiced yet. So I don't expect him to play, but if he did, it would be terrible news for Greg Ward.
Yeah.
Absolutely disastrous. Yeah. Drop him. You're going to have to start someone else news.
Would you start Nelson Agholor?
I don't really want to because speaking of drops, he's just not very good.
Would you start Watson? Assuming Agholor is out, Justin Watson or Greg Ward?
Ward for me.
And I'd probably play Watson.
All right, we look at Heath's quarterback rankings. He has Daniel Jones. He has Daniel Jones 11th. Right behind Aaron Rodgers, just ahead of Ryan Tannehill. Also ahead of Trubisky, Dalton, Minshew, Garoppolo, Goff. But behind most of the guys we've talked about today. Behind Winston, behind Ryan, behind Wilson. Not in that order. All right, I think that's pretty much... Oh, Caden Smith. Caden Smith or Hollister, who do you like? Let me give you a stat on that. Well, you tell me who you like, and then I'll give you the stat.
Caden Smith for me.
I will take Hollister in that scenario.
Okay, here's your stat. Three games with Daniel Jones, Caden Smith has 6 to 8 targets in all three games. There have been four tight ends with 6 to 9 targets against Philadelphia this year, and three of them caught a touchdown. Those three were Vernon Davis, Jimmy Graham, and Mike Gesicki. So obviously, Caden Smith has a 75% chance of catching a touchdown. That's what that stat means.
I'm going to update the projections. I only had him for a 45% chance of catching a touchdown.
Oh, you're very welcome. All right, New Orleans is at Carolina. Heath, you are up. New Orleans at Carolina.
Yeah, so you're going to start Drew Brees, and you're not going to start Will Greer. I love, love, love Alvin Kamara in DFS this week. You're obviously going to play him in your lineup, as well as Christian McCaffrey. He's kind of good, too. I don't want to start a Panthers pass catcher. Samuel maybe gets more targets with no DJ Moore, but I can't trust it. You're obviously starting Michael Thomas and Jared Cook. This game's pretty easy, too.
This game is really easy. Yeah.
Very easy.
I guess only question is if DJ Moore plays, and we just saw one catch for A.J. Brown last week. If DJ Moore plays, he had a big game a few weeks ago, but Lattimore was out. Would you start DJ Moore?
I think it would be tough to start him. Lattimore has been really good the second half of the season. We've talked about that throughout, and it would be challenging for me to start him.
I would have a very difficult time sitting him. I would hope that Carolina would be creative enough to get DJ Moore into the slot more often in a game against Lattimore, but like they haven't done it very much this year. I think he's only been there 13% of the time. I would hope that they would do that a little bit, but I would just hope that he'd give me one big play probably.
As far as Drew Brees goes, he's second for Jamie behind Mahomes. He's first for Dave, and he's third for Heath behind Mahomes and Matt Ryan. I just can't believe you have Matt Ryan second overall. How? Have you seen the Bucs, what they've done to quarterbacks the last six or seven games?
They haven't played a lot of good quarterbacks.
They played Matt Ryan. They shut him down.
Yeah.
They played Deshaun Watson. He was terrible.
I think Matt Ryan's going to throw for 320 yards. And that gives you a pretty decent baseline when it comes to projections. Like, he just does that almost every week. And so I expect multiple touchdown passes. I don't think that these defenses have improved enough to catch up to these offenses.
Boy, we just keep going back to that game, huh? Okay, let's see. We are moving along. I think we have three games left. So after Carolina, I'm scrolling down in the notes. What's the next game, everybody? It is Arizona at the Rams. All right. So, Ben, what are we doing here? I guess we have to be cautious with the Rams. But what's your take on this game, Arizona at the Rams?
Yeah, you're playing Kenyon Drake. I mean, he should be considered an easy top 10 option in all formats, potentially a top 5 option. The guy has been a stud, and he's been their workhorse since he came over, and I think I saw a stat that even including his poor stretch against some tough defenses, he is, I think, top 5 or maybe even top 3 in fantasy points since the trade, because he has been their lead back the entire time, and he's had some boom games over the last two. You're starting it, period. Kyler Murray's tough for me because they pulled him as soon as they had a little, you know, he had a little bit of an injury. If he plays, if he starts, we don't know that he'll make it through the whole game. If he gets banged up, they'll probably remove him. And that makes the Arizona passing game tough for me as well. I don't really want to play Christian Kirk. I think you can play him if you had to. I'd probably play more ahead of him because he's also probably going to have a tough matchup with Jalen Ramsey.
No, Ramsey's not going to play.
Oh, I missed that. Okay.
Yeah,
Rams. That's right. Okay. So, and then on the Rams side, I wouldn't trust Gurley necessarily. I think Woods and Higbee are the two that I would play. I don't want to trust Goff. And I'm like okay on Cooper Kupp. If he's playing, we don't really know about the Rams, right?
No. Not really. And that makes this game is really tough, I think. Because, like, if the Rams are playing everybody on defense, I'm not going to start Kyler Murray. I'm only going to start Kenyon Drake. If the Rams are playing everyone on offense, I'm starting everyone. Jared Goff played three quarters against the Cardinals. He scored 28 points. He threw for 424 yards. That was in week 13. Cardinals are awful. So it's really tough. So, like, I think this thumb injury is overblown. You know, he said it wasn't really a big deal. He played pretty well, at least in the first half against San Francisco. I thought he looked pretty good. Heath, if Jared Goff is active, I mean, should we be gung-ho on Goff? Should we be gung-ho on Kupp? You already said you're going to start Robert Woods no matter what, and I get that, but it's Goff and Kupp, basically, because I understand Cook's coming on a little bit lately, but hard to trust. But yeah, I mean, this is a great matchup if he plays.
If there was no concern at all about Goff or Kupp sitting at all, then I would view Goff as a fine start, like at the very bottom of the guys I would call starts, but one spot ahead of Daniel Jones, who is my top streamer. So I'd just be saying start Jared Goff. I don't know. Like, Cooper Kupp would still probably be a number three. He keeps scoring touchdowns, but the targets has just not been there. And I don't really want to trust that trend continuing.
Okay. All right, then. And that's pretty much that game. Do we want to talk about Gurley? If Gurley's playing, Ben, what do you do? Heath, what do you do? Start him?
I think you just start him if he plays. But it could be a terrible situation where, like it was with McCaffrey last year, where he plays one series and then doesn't play anymore.
Right.
Okay, so let's say
I wouldn't expect much out of him.
Let's say he's out. Where would you rank Malcolm Brown? This is a really interesting streamer. Where would you rank him?
Top 10. I mean, if Daryl Henderson and top Gurley 10. Are both out against Arizona's run D, I think Malcolm Brown, you're talking about 20 carry back.
Could be.
Yeah, you probably like. How has Arizona's run D been lately? Because like that wasn't their problem early in the year at all.
And I know their touchdowns.
I know their pass defense has been better since the Goff game. I kind of think if like if Kyler plays, and the
Arizona has given up 100 or more rushing yards in all but two games this year. One of them was last week, but it was 91 yards. The 3 weeks before that, they gave up at least 130 yards. I mean, those are pretty high rush yard numbers.
Wait a second. No, but that's deceiving because that's quarterbacks too.
Yeah, I'm looking at running back production, okay. And four of the last six have been under 100 yards for the running backs.
Right. They're not good against
running
backs.
I guess my problem with Brown would be if Gurley's sitting and Ramsey's sitting and Goff's sitting and Kyler's playing, I think the Cardinals might just trounce them.
So like, are you playing Kirk?
I would probably, if Kyler plays, I'll play Kirk.
Why? God, he doesn't do anything ever. He is like the most overrated player. Look at his game log. He has three touchdowns this year. They were all in one game against the Bucs. He is usually under 50 yards. Christian Kirk is a really bad fantasy option most weeks. The most overrated player. I don't know why we give this guy any credit. Do not start Christian Kirk. No way. Never.
So I'm looking at the games that he was really bad against Seattle last week. He only had 7 points against Cleveland. That was bad. He had 16 against Pittsburgh. He had 10 against the 49ers. He had like 400 against Tampa Bay, 15 mm-hmm. against the Saints, 16 against the Panthers, 17 against the Ravens. Like
these are not
schedule,
consecutive, by the way.
As much as you talk about how difficult the schedule has been for Odell Beckham and Baker Mayfield, his schedule has been pretty tough. And he's been relatively good in PPR more often than he's been bad.
Well, this is a tough matchup. I think even without Ramsey,
I don't think it's a tough matchup. If in the scenario I was laying out, if the Rams are really not going to play anyone who's even kind of injured and Kyler Murray's back, I don't think it's a tough matchup. I think it's just a feel-good game for the Cardinals.
Okay, but he does have 50 or fewer yards, fewer than 50 yards in four of his last five games. All right, that's it for that game. Two more. Green Bay at Detroit. Heath, you got this bonanza.
Yeah, this is an exciting game. Aaron Rodgers is a start that I'm not particularly excited about, but I'm probably starting him. Aaron Jones, the top three running back, just absolutely crushed last time Jamal Williams is out. I think he'll do that again. You're starting Devontae Adams. You are starting Kenny Golladay. I would prefer to stay away from the rest of the Lions and the tight ends.
Does anybody have interest in Kerryon Johnson, who had 11 touches last week? And would you take a gamble on Kerryon Johnson over Devontae Freeman or Ronald Jones or David Montgomery or somebody like that?
I've got him behind David Montgomery, so no.
And you have David Montgomery last in your rankings, and somehow you've Kerryon. No,
David Montgomery is 39th in my running back rankings.
It's close. So Golladay, you guys are cool with. Amendola. No thanks, Ben. Bad game last week. Just to say goodbye to Amendola.
I think you could use him, actually. In going into last week, in every game where he'd ran at least routes on at least 75% of dropbacks, he'd seen at least 8 targets. I'm not sure, did he see 8 targets? I don't think he saw 8 targets last week.
He saw 3. Literally 3 last week.
But that was literally the first time where he's been used or run that many routes out of, I believe it's 6 games now on the season. And with Jones out and Hawkinson out, you should expect him to continue to run plenty of routes. I mean, he's their number two option. So I'm thinking of that as more of just a down game for a guy whose role has expanded over the last month when you look at the other games in his game log over the past month. But not somebody that I want to rush to get in the lineups because he is just kind of a PPR slot option, right?
Yeah, in PPR, sure. I would start him over, like with the information we have now, I'd start him over Cup. I'd start him over Diggs. I'd start him over Beckham. I'd start him over Mike Williams. But he's not a top 30 guy.
Heath, let me ask you some Golladay questions real quick. Golladay or Mostert?
Golladay.
Golladay or Kenyon Drake?
That one's really... They're both top 10 at their position, so I'll actually have to look. Drake.
Golladay or DeAndre Washington?
Golladay.
Last game, Ben, Washington at Dallas.
Yeah, we're getting... A little more Case Keenum action here, right?
Yes.
In this one? I think that's actually probably good for Washington's passing game. I think Keenum was a little bit more productive for the receivers. Obviously, we saw Terry McLaurin be really good in the early part of this season with Keenum under center. Haskins has struggled a little bit. If McLaurin is healthy and plays, I want to start him with Keenum under center. Sims and Kelvin Harmon and the rest of that pass game to me are a little bit tougher to play. I know Sims has double-digit targets both the last 2 weeks. He has 3 touchdowns both the last 2 weeks. If you're in a deeper league and you're playing in week 17, you don't have a lot of options. Sims is definitely somebody you can consider, but he's not somebody that I really want to bank on. Adrian Peterson for me is just mostly a non-PPR, low upside option. On Dallas' side, we know they have to win. We know Washington's defense isn't very good. We also know Dak's arm's a little bit banged up, but I want to play Dak. I want to play Cooper. I want to play Gallup. I want to play Zeke. Randall Cobb and Jason Witten are kind of like, they're not top options at their positions, but I mean, they're guys you could consider, I guess, and I could see scenarios where I'd consider them.
Keith, would you start both Cowboys receivers over both 49ers receivers?
No, I would not. In fact, I would start Emmanuel Sanders over Amari Cooper, over Deebo Samuel, over Michael Gallup. So Gallup would be last on the list for me. We do have some news that we should probably get in because it's about a game that we've talked about a lot today. Courtney Cronin, probably mispronounced that, I'm sorry, ESPN reporter for the Vikings. They haven't finalized their plan for Sunday. They're leaning heavily towards resting a bulk of their starters, including Kirk Cousins. Team viewing Chicago week as a bye in terms of getting guys rest healthy for January.
Oh, start David Montgomery, Heath. Start him up.
Who has David Montgomery played the last 2 weeks?
He's played the Chiefs.
Yeah. How does their run defense rank? The Chiefs' run defense?
Not well.
Who else?
What was before that? The Cowboys?
The Packers. How is the Packers' run defense?
Not good.
What about the Lions?
Not bad, believe it or not. They give up points, but not a lot per carry. Okay, you made your point, David Montgomery.
Are there any backup Vikings we'd want to play here? Irv Smith? Like BC Johnson?
I was thinking BC might be in play. And the nice thing is they can rest their starters and Mike Boone can still play.
There you go. So let's get back to this Dallas game because the Amari Cooper rankings are actually very interesting. Well, first of all, the Dak Prescott rankings are interesting. As I mentioned, Heath has him 4th, Jamie has him 4th, Dave has him 16th. He looked really bad last week. He scored 10 points at Philadelphia, 25 of 44, 265 yards, no touchdowns. But I guess you guys, I know Heath has faith in him. He has him 4th. Ben, do you have faith in an injured Dak Prescott?
Yeah. I mean, he played through it last week. He's further removed from it now. I'm not at all concerned about Washington's defense. He's at home. He's much better at home and has been throughout the entire year. So I think he's a top 5 option as well. I agree with whoever had him ranked in the top 5.
Okay. And then for Ezekiel Elliott, I'm going to be playing him in FanDuel. The Redskins have allowed in 3 straight games, 24 or more non-PPR, 30 or more PPR fantasy points to a running back. That would be Miles Sanders, Aaron Jones, and Saquon Barkley. They all had huge games against the Redskins, so I don't see why Zeke wouldn't. What's up with Amari Cooper? So Jamie's got him in the top 5. Dave and Heath have him around 20th. And then Gallup, Heath, you have him as a number 3 receiver. These are usually the games that Gallup does well. It's a good matchup. How is it that you have these guys kind of low and you have Dak Prescott 4?
Well, I think Dak Prescott can be 4 with having Ezekiel Elliott, Amari Cooper, and Michael Gallup on his team and none of them being must-starts. But the thing with Cooper, like, he has one of those 3 guys is probably going to have a great receiving day. Cooper just hasn't had very many lately. We were talking about Christian Kirk and how he's been over the last 5 or 6 games. Cooper has 2 games in his last 6 with more than 40 receiving yards. And I don't totally buy that it's just he's really good at home and he's really bad on the road. He's just an inconsistent low-end number 2 wide receiver like he's always been. And he has huge upside games and he has long stretches where he's pretty much useless in fantasy. And I don't know which one we're going to get this week.
I mean, it's fair. He's had two of the last 6 with more than 38 yards. 2 of those bad games were against Gilmore and Ramsey, but they were really bad games. Bad game at Detroit, bad game last week with 12 targets in Philadelphia.
Amari Cooper a lot. And I have for 3 or 4 years now thought that he was undervalued in the community. But like we're 5 or 6 years into his career now, and he has these enormous games. Like even last year, he was a top 5 receiver or something after he went to Dallas, and it was almost all 2 games. And so I just I have a really hard time ranking him too much higher than this.
Okay. I think you're wrong about him. I think he's better than you think. I'm not talking about this week. I think he really, truly broke out, became an elite wide receiver with this setup, with the Cowboys. And he's playing hurt. And so is his quarterback.
I would just say that if you put his game log from this season next to his game log from past season, you would not be able to pick this season out.
I don't care about what happened in past seasons. He's playing at a different quarterback.
He was very good in the past, too. Very, very good.
He's better now. He's better. He's my number 5 receiver for 2020.
Well, it's not transferring over to fantasy production.
I mean, it was until he got extremely banged up, and so did his quarterback.
Until he had the cold streak that he has every year.
He's injured. He is injured, and so is Dak. Give the guy a break.
I like
him. By the way, you said that you said it sort of, I think you didn't mean it, that Ezekiel Elliott is not a must start. He is a must start, right?
I did not say that. I have not said anything about Ezekiel Elliott.
You said Dak can be number 4 with Ezekiel Elliott, Amari Cooper, Michael Gallup not being must starts or something like that. I just want to make it clear.
Yeah, I did not use the term must start. So yes, you should absolutely. Ezekiel Elliott is my number 1 running back in non-PPR. I'm pretty sure. I didn't say that he's not a must-start.
Adam is definitely right on the way you phrase that, because my ears perked up too, and I was like, wait, is he saying Zeke's not a must-start? I had the same reaction, so I got to be on Adam's
stuff. Okay, to clarify for anyone who heard what Adam heard, even though that's not what I said, he is a top 2 back in both formats.
Okay, because I was so unless you have a 1 running back league and it's PPR and you have Christian McCaffrey, Ezekiel Elliott is a must start. That's it for the show, everybody. That's it for starter sit. Well, actually, we'll have some starter sit for FanDuel and the playoff challenges. We'll do that in January. We'll get you ready for the games. We're going to have a show Sunday night. We're going to have a show Tuesday. We're going to have a show Thursday. Remember, we got 3 episodes per week during the offseason.
We're going to have a show Friday.
The radio show.
Afternoon.
The DFS podcast. That's right. Check that out. No mailbag this week, by the way. Thank you to Ben. Thank you to Heath. Thank you to Jamie for 5 minutes. That was wonderful. Thank you to Antonio Brown for ruining Jamie's podcast experience. And good luck in week 17, everybody. We'll talk to you with the DFS show on Friday.
This is Tony Kornheiser's show. I'm Tony. You expected someone else? So what exactly is the show about? I don't know. It's a sports show nominally. Football's over, but we're finally at a point where things matter in college basketball, and baseball season is on deck. Greatest 3 words in the English language, pitchers and catchers. We have some of the best voices come on and explain what matters or what makes an upset, like Ryan does, 9-8. No, that's not an upset. No, yeah, it is, Bob. And if you're lucky, I might just tell you about my search for discounted sleep pants or my worries about what my dog just ate. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.